All this week, we're asking you to sit back and relax and grab a cup of coffee at home to celebrate the East Coast FM Wicklow-wide Coffee Morning. And most importantly, to donate. This year, more than ever, the cancer supports in Wicklow and the Wicklow Hospice need your help, as virtually all their fundraisers have been cancelled. Donating is easier than ever. Simply text EAST to 5300 or go to eastcoast.fm/coffee. Throughout the week, we'll be hearing about the work the cancer supports in Wicklow and the Wicklow Hospice do, from cancer patients, survivors, family and the people who make it all possible. Brian Whelan spoke to Claire Hogan about why he started the singing group at Greystone's Cancer Support.
So a number of years ago, I had a bout of cancer myself, and I'm living in Greystone, so I saw the Greystone's Cancer Support office and went in and had a chat, and at that stage it was run by Kathleen, who was doing a fantastic job, and she explained to me what services they provide, and there were things like mindfulness and yoga and writing groups and all that, and I thought this was brilliant, you know, so I joined up and I was going to some of these sessions, and I've always been involved in music myself, like for example down in Tinnahealy, I ran a mass folk group, and I played with a 60s band and did some solo stuff myself as well. So, you know, I was always interested in music, and it just struck me that in the Greystone's Cancer Support, there was nothing related to music. So I had a chat with Kathleen, and I said, listen, what if I throw out the idea of starting a singing group? And I didn't want to be presumptuous and call us a choir. I just had a singing group, and I had an idea how it would work out, and that's really how I got started, and Kathleen was very enthusiastic about it.
Great. And of course, I'm not a singer and nobody wants to hear me sing, but I know when I do sing in the shower or when people aren't around, I know I always feel so much better afterwards. And yeah, I suppose that's the thing you need when you're going through a treatment for cancer. You need something that lifts your spirits.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, when I am going back even further, when my first wife died from cancer, and in the couple of years after that, the only thing that kept me going was my involvement in music, and it was just such a fantastic support. And that's why I felt that knowing the benefits of music, I felt that it would be something that would be in addition to the Greystone's Cancer Support. But it's interesting what you said there, Claire. I can't sing. You know, when I started the group in Greystone's, and the first night there were three people came in, and each one of them, as they came into the room, said, I don't know what I'm doing here because I can't sing. Everybody can sing. It's just a matter of capturing their range, believe it or not.
You mentioned how you got involved, and you mentioned that you got involved with Greystone's Cancer Support because you had gone through cancer yourself.
Yes.
I suppose for anyone who hears those words for the first time, what does that feel like when you hear the words cancer?
It's kind of interesting because, you know, when I went through it, I've also two of my siblings died from cancer. So when my wife was diagnosed, that was out of the blue and a shocking moment. And, you know, I knew I could never, ever have a worse moment than that. And in fact, when I was diagnosed, I kind of knew, you know, I had a lot of symptoms, and I kind of knew. I said, you know, this feels to me like it could be cancer. And then when it was confirmed, it wasn't anything like the first shock I got when my first wife was diagnosed. You know, I knew it was treatable. That was the thing. It was prostate cancer, and I knew they'd caught it early. And I was under the care of some great people in the Beacon Hospital, and you know, you met a lot of people there who are going through the same sort of treatment regime as I was, and you got to know them, you got to chat to them, and it wasn't as bad as the first time when it hit me, if you like, and also as a family. But of course, for people who are hearing it for the first time, and particularly if it's themselves, it's a dreadful shock. My first wife, She actually often said about cancer, said, if I were to sacrifice 5 years of my life and die from something else, don't let me ever get cancer. You know, even the word terrified her, you know.
it's a very scary word.
It is.
You know, and it's something that I suppose you don't understand, like, until you go through it yourself or until someone very close to you goes through it.
Exactly.
And I know you're talking about your first wife and her experience. As someone then who watched that from, you know, trying to help someone in that situation, what was that like?
It was particularly tough because she didn't want... She wanted to keep it to herself. She didn't want people to know that she had cancer. So it was a kind of a lone journey for her. Obviously, she was bearing the biggest burden. But also, I couldn't talk to my friends or my own family. Now my children knew, obviously, but so I wasn't able to reach out for the kind of support that I think is very important during that particular time. But I absolutely understood and respected her decision that she wanted to keep it to herself, you know. So, it was a tough... She was diagnosed in January 2009, and she was given 6 months, and she got 12 months, you know. So it was almost exactly 12 months. But it was... really tough, but she came around very well, and she accepted it, and you know, there were good times during that year as well as the tough times. The toughest times were in the last couple of months.
Yeah, I know there's different stages that people go through, I suppose, coming to terms with the illness and how people deal with it and things like that. And those months you want to make things extra special and do more things as a family, and those were the things that you enjoyed. But of course it's a really hard time, and things...
It's a hard time because, you know, even during, you know, during the better times during that year, you always knew that this was coming, that you know, it was short-lived. The bad thing was coming back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was always in the back of your mind.
Always in the back of the mind, you know. But it was a difficult journey, and it was a difficult few years afterwards. You know, during the couple of years after she died were really, really tough years. You know,
of course, for your family as well. You mentioned that your kids and things. It must have been really, really hard for them.
Yeah, well, they were all adults. You know, so I mean, from that point of view, I was going to say something silly there. I was going to say, well, it's easier. It wasn't any easier at all. I don't think it's easy at any stage. But at least, I didn't have to worry about rearing children.
They understood as well.
Oh, they very much understood, and they knew what the situation was. And so, from that point of view, there was support, obviously, from my children. We supported each other, but. That's hard when you're all in the same boat, you know.
How did Greystone's Cancer Support help you on your own cancer journey?
They have a man's night every month, you know, where all guys got together and just sat around the table and chatted, and sometimes the illness wasn't even discussed. So it's great crack. And you know, they've got some fantastic people who are volunteering their time. Like, I mean, the yoga... you know, we did mindfulness. I joined the writers group, and you know, from that point of view, there was great activities. First of all, and the second thing was that you were meeting other people who are going through the same journey. Which you know, sometimes that never came up during the sessions. You know, you just they became friends, and you didn't. It wasn't an automatic thing during the sessions where the illness came into the picture at all. Yeah, and the like, the team down there in the Greystones Cancer Support are really fantastic. You know, fantastic people.
Oh yeah, they're wonderful. A wonderful group, and a vital service here in our county as well. I know this might sound like a silly question, but women talk. I feel like women are a little bit more open to talking about things, and I suppose that's why the men's group and the men's nights that Greystones Cancer Support have are so important. Did you find you were able to open up a little bit more?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely no problem with that. Some people did, and then, you see, the difficulty in a group like that is that people are at different stages. Some people have just been diagnosed. Some people are just starting their treatment. Other people have had successful treatment. So they're coming out at the other end, and they're very important. Even though they come out at the other end, very important they keep in contact with the Greystones Cancer Support, because they're very important when you have a group of people around, and some people are starting the journey, and they can see people who have gone through it, and they can see people that are you know, have got back to normal life after it, you know. And sometimes in the early stages of a cancer diagnosis, it's like, I'm never going to get over this. I'll never survive this. And in many, many, many cases, people do survive, you know.
It's important to keep positive. And if you see someone who's fighting the journey and getting there, it makes you feel like, I can do that too. That's me. I can do this. And I want to be on that journey as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned prostate cancer as well, because that's the cancer that you had.
Yeah.
It's so important that we talk about, like, signs and things like that for men out there. Could you go through a few of them with us?
Men don't talk like women do. And, you know, I'm my friends and people of my age are sick. Every time I meet people, you know, people of my age, friends and that I know are not very very good at going to doctors, I say, did you go and get that PSA test? Did you get the PSA test? Because it is something that people, when you get, say, over 60, and even earlier, that you should be getting blood tests and PSA tests, just to make sure, because it's a silent thing, and the symptoms don't come until later. And the symptoms would be, you know, for example, it'd be the most common thing would be that if you're going to the loo a lot, particularly at night, you know, that's one of the main symptoms, because you don't suffer any pain. There's very seldom any pain, and if you're suffering pain in that particular region, well, then you probably have a real problem.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
but it's the main symptom really is you know, if the waterworks are acting up, are changing, you know, that's a sign. But you know what should be happening is that men should be going. I mean, I'm through my cancer and I'm clear and all the rest of it. I now insist on having bloods taken 3 times a year, and I've had many arguments with nurses and GPs practices when I come along, and they go to the computer and say, oh, what are you coming back for a blood test? You only had it done 4 months ago. And I said, yeah, I want it. But you only need it once a year. And I said, I'm the patient here, do my bloods, you know. So it is something that people have to take responsibility for their health, and in particular men in relation to prostate cancer. It is very, very important to go on a regular basis, even if you don't have any symptoms. What's in a blood test, you know?
As you said at the beginning, there is no signs, there is no symptoms.
It.
So it is
That's
one
it.
Of those things that can be a silent killer. So it is so important
exactly.
that you do get your regular tests and things.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Brian, it was so lovely to speak to you. For anyone who wants to join with the singing group at Greystones Cancer Support, how do they get in contact?
Oh, just get in contact with the office. The interesting thing, you know, you mentioned about men. If I just say that we've got about 18 people in the group now, and they're a fantastic group, and they're all, we have developed a great friendship and camaraderie between all of the people in that. And I know the value of the singing for the people who are in the group. It is just so very important, and it's great fun. But can I get men into it? No. You go to any choir and say, what's the biggest challenge in the choir? And they say, can't get men into the choir. And it's very, very difficult. But we you know, if they, people who are interested, and particularly people who are maybe going through a cancer journey, or if they've had issues, siblings or a partner or that who has gone through cancer, just contact Cancer Support in Greystones, and we'd be delighted to see them.
If you would like to donate to the East Coast FM Coffee Morning, text EAST to 50300 or donate online at eastcoast.fm. Text costs €4. The Wicklow Cancer Support Services and the Wicklow Hospice will receive a minimum of €3.60. Service provider like charity.